There's news of an early step toward breaking the standoff between the U.S. and China on trade. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. After months of not talking, China has agreed to send a not very high-level delegation to Washington later this month to see if there is a path forward from this war of U.S. tariffs and Chinese counter-tariffs. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak joins us from a roadside in Shanghai. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, David.
So we know they'll talk. One wouldn't expect an agreement to come out of this set of meetings.
Not at all. It's being billed, at least by some analysts, as talks about future talks. But really, this is about establishing trust. You know, there's a guidebook on doing business in China for dummies. And in it, they advise that in the U.S., it's very important what's in the contract. But in China, doing business is all about relationships.
Now, the Trump administration is facing some pushback on this from industries that feel that the tariffs could be counterproductive to them. What about on the Chinese side? What about President Xi, at some level, president for life, getting any pressure to get the talks going again?
Sure, but this is also a country where censorship is very heavy. But what we have heard is that there have been a little bit of pushback and also some media reports quoting anonymous sources saying that the leadership is facing a lot of pressure because China's economic growth is slowing down from domestic issues. You know, President Xi has made it his platform on during his second term to lower the debt risk, to focus on pollution. This trade dispute with the U.S. is not helping all of this. And as you mentioned, he has spent many years consolidating his power. He's removed presidential limits, which means that if things are going well, he gets credit for it. But when things are going bad, he may also get blamed.
Marketplace's Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
After the down day for stocks around the world, Asia remained down, but FTSE in London is up 0.6% now. Here, the S&P future is up 0.5%. After the Turkish lira's great fall, it's up against the dollar for the third straight day, plus 3% now. I saw the first Halloween-themed pet toys at a PetSmart this week. This is the time of year that the goods pour in at the U.S. border for sale from Halloween through the holidays. As we reported this week, more consumers are in a buying mood. Adding to the crush at the ports, those tariffs we were just discussing, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Southern California's massive ports handle about 40% of shipping container volume from Asia, much of it from China. The port of Long Beach has never handled so much by this time of year. The port of Los Angeles just had its busiest July ever. One big reason, says Philip Sanfield at the port of Los Angeles.
The looming tariffs, some which have taken effect and some expected later this year.
He calls it the push-forward effect.
Retailers and others hedging their bets and moving their cargo earlier than they normally might.
There is a danger here, says David Schick at Consumer Edge Research, retailers sitting on merchandise longer before it hits store shelves.
The earlier any retailer moves in advance of the actual demand, it does add fashion risk.
So bring in Chinese-made handbags, sports equipment, or cosmetics early to try to avoid tariffs, and you could end up with the wrong stuff for shoppers' tastes once the winter holiday and spring fashion seasons roll around. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This coming Monday is bailout exit day for Greece. Greece is the most heavily indebted country that uses the European single currency, and it's set to formally leave the program of financial assistance under which it has endured for the past 8 years. From Monday, Greece will no longer rely on a stream of low-interest loans from its partners. The Greek government says this will be a moment of liberation, with the country regaining its political and financial independence. Really? From Athens, Stephen Beard reports.
At the headquarters of Dioptra, one of the top book publishers in Greece, the boss, Kostas Papadopoulos, looks ahead to bailout exit day without enthusiasm. He doesn't believe his country's ready to go it alone.
We need to be under protection in a way, because I don't think we're able to survive on our own. And definitely we're not going to be able to do that after August the 20th.
In fact, Greece won't have to borrow on financial markets immediately. The creditors have already lent it another big dollop of cash to tide it over. And they've imposed a strict program of further budget cuts and economic reforms, with four inspections a year to make sure the Greeks comply. Athens psychiatrist Dimitris Dimitriadis, for one, is not complaining about that continued surveillance.
I'm very sorry to say that we failed into surveilling ourselves. We failed into regulating our economy on our own. So maybe the surveillance is actually welcome.
The hope is that after 8 years of austerity, Greece has learnt its lesson and will now live within its means, cutting its bureaucracy further, abandoning the pork barrel politics of the past. Konstantin Michalos is head of the Athens Chamber of Commerce.
Having passed these difficult years, I am even more optimistic today that we can perform the necessary acts required, and I'm sure that we will be successful.
But publisher Kostas Papadopoulos is fearful that bailout exit day may send the wrong signal to Greece's left-leaning government, especially with an election due within a year.
I'm really scared of what's going to happen from now until May in order for the governing party at the moment to try to win votes by actually giving people money that we don't have.
Already, the government has suggested it would like to raise the minimum wage and restore some of the labour union powers curbed under the bailout. Greece's path to financial independence may not be trouble-free. In Athens, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And a story we're monitoring: an automated hacking system typically enlisted by crooks and creeps to send spam emails about bogus this and bogus that apparently got very focused for some hours yesterday. A computer security company says this network of millions of vulnerable computers started sending loads of fake emails to employees of several thousand banks. Those emails looked benign but contained an attachment which, if opened, could infect bank computers with malware. This apparent 8-hour hacking campaign was reported by a company called Cofence, which works with companies to fend off these kinds of attacks. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.